The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Welcome to another program with Truths to Live By, a ministry of Harriman Baptist Tabernacle in Harriman, Tennessee. You're listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. I pray we would be a blessing to you today. Begin our second study in the book of 1 Corinthians, and I want to draw your attention to chapter 1, verse number 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And so we want to point out here that Paul the Apostle, having introduced this letter in the first 9 verses, is beginning now to give his entreaties to the Corinthian Christians. He is going to plead with them. He stands as an apostolic prophet, calling the church back to God, much in the same manner as the Old Testament prophets would call back the nations of Israel and Judah to the Lord God Jehovah. Paul the Apostle will confront God's people with their sins, sins that they have personally and brazenly brought into the very house of God, into the congregation of the saints. In chapter 1, verse 10, through chapter 4, verse 21, Paul reproves the local church for the open strife in their midst. He gives a call to unity, a reproof concerning open strife in the local church, chapters 1 through 4. And then further on in this study, we will see a reproof concerning open sin in the local church, chapters 5 and 6. But for now, we begin with the apostle's first entreaty, chapter 1, verse 10 through chapter 1, verse 31. The apostle points the saints to Christ and his cross. If the church would ever know true unity, we must get back to Christ and his cross. No unity will be real unity if it's not centered around Christ, around his cross, and around the truth, the doctrines of the Word of God. So go with me now to the Lord for a word of prayer as we ask God for his blessing upon our time together. Father, we love you because you first loved us. And I come now in Jesus' name asking for your help, knowing that I have your grace and mercy to follow me all the days of my life. And I bless your name and praise you for your goodness to the people of God and to me personally. Lord, help all those who listen to this program. Speak to their hearts, I pray. Bless the reading and preaching of your word. For Jesus' sake and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. So you're here in 1 Corinthians 1. And Paul is entreating the saints. He is coming with petitions, with urgency of heart. And he pleads with the saints to return to their first love. He takes the saints and turns their heads and hearts toward Christ. In verses 10 through 17, Paul bases his entreaty on the person of Christ. We see a tearful man of God in verses 10 and 11 that we have read already. He has a great desire to end the divisions among the people of God. Oh, for strife and contention to be removed from the assembly of the saints. The wise man in the Proverbs says, only by pride cometh contention. The desire to end the divisions expresses itself with the decision to expose the contentions. It was declared to Paul by those of the house of Chloe, that there were contentions. There were strifes among the people of God. This brings us to verse 12. Here we see a truthful man of God. He points the saints to his concern. Verses 12 and 13, Paul the apostle shows a godly concern for the saints' behavior. Verse 12, now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? Why was Paul so concerned with their behavior? First of all, because they were following after men. In verse number 12, to attach yourself to preachers and personalities is to soon forget about Christ. Look again to verse 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? The saints had forgotten that it was not Paul. It was not Apollos. It was not Cephas. It was not Peter. But it was the Lord Jesus Christ who was crucified for them. A godly concern for their behavior, but then a godly concern for their beginning. Look to verse 14. I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Paul looks back to their beginning. He places here before them a great priority on the preaching of the Word of God to that of baptism. Look on down to verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You see, Paul said, Christ called me and he commissioned me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, this is not to minimize baptism, but to place the priority upon the preaching of the Word of God. We must preach and teach before we baptize, for baptism is only for believers. Therefore, baptism without belief in the Lord Jesus Christ is utterly useless and helpless to save anyone. It is only the like figure showing that we have identified ourselves with a crucified, buried, and risen Savior, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the hard facts concerning the days of these Christians' beginning is that Paul was rejoicing that he had only baptized a few, and therefore they could not boast in his name, though some of them were attaching themselves to the personality of Paul. He was earnestly pointing the saints to Christ and his cross. Should not we, brethren, be looking to Jesus Christ rather than the personalities of men? I'm afraid in these last days that we have many Corinthian-like Christians. Just let the personality that they cling to leave the church, and you'll be hard-pressed to find them again. Just let their favorite preacher make one mistake, or even get out of his walk and work for God, and you'll be hard-pressed to find those believers. Brethren, these things ought not so to be. Our attention, our affection, and our allegiance as believers should be upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is doing, calling these saints back to unity, to end their divisions, to repent of their contentions, to make things right. And in order to do this, they would have to return to Christ and his cross. And the work of Christ upon the cross of Calvary would lay them low before God, side by side, one with another, on their faces in humble repentance, knowing that they owed their all to the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us to recognize that it was Christ who was crucified for us. We thank you for making this ministry a part of your day. And in closing, we want to point you to the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And truly, it is written. God's word, every word, presents us with truths to live by. You've been listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. Please send all correspondence to Truths to Live By, P.O. Box 575, Harriman, Tennessee, 37748. Or you can email us at bmarkcooley@gmail.com. And finally, brethren, pray for us.